Welcome to the Enlighten Up Podcast, where I am going to take you into a deep exploration of what it means to exist in this current reality. We are going to raise your vibes, open your mind, expand your heart, and dive deep into the wondrous mysteries and possibilities of this lifetime. There's been a spiritual catalyst that has set in motion the awakening process of many across the globe to return to the knowingness of self and unite what has been separated. Together, we're going to bring light into that darkness. We're going to remember the joy of living. But most of all, we're going to turn up the volume of our own eternal power and do the thing we're here to do. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Enlighten Up Podcast for yet another full moon breakdown with no other than our favorite astrologist, seer, cosmic queen, shall we call her, Mary Ducina. My girlfriend, how are you? We're going to be talking about that full moon in Leo today, aren't we?
It is. I always get excited about the moon being in the sign of the sun's rulership. I like lions. I like Leo. I resonate with the fact that Leo encourages our willpower, our will to do, and also invigorates the heart chakra and how the soul of us and the spirit's desires can meet up with and coalesce with the rise of the heart. So I was thinking about a catchy name for this, and it was like, this really is the heart rise. This really is an emotional evolutionary cycle, because, you know, we've started 2024 with such an impact of Saturn ruled Capricorn. You know, we've got this impact as the year opened up with this stellium, you know, which the short definition of that is when a whole bunch of planets form a parade in one particular zodiac sign. So we have this, you know, with the sun and the moon at our former new moon that coalesce, they meet up, they marry in the sign of Capricorn, and then we've got that compatible with Saturn in Pisces, Neptune in Pisces. So we've got this Earth-water dynamic that started the year, and then we're going to have Venus move into Capricorn as we come into this pre-full moon rise at its culmination point on January the 25th. We've got Pluto and the Sun that spiraled together for the last time in this lifetime on January 20th at that 29th and Antarctic degree of Capricorn. And I really like the energy platform of Capricorn helping us to anchor, do the work, really enjoy the discipleship and the determination and the dedication to work with what the passions of our soul are right now. But as we get into this full moon, you know, Leo's also about courage. Mm. And it's also about setting boundaries when it's combined with Capricorn. The indigenous people refer to this moon as the ice moon, the wolf moon. To First Nations people, wolf is a powerful teacher. Great Spirit is the eagle for most Native people's tribes. But the wolf means a specific teaching, a specific teacher, some soul inspirations. And again, I'll go back to emotional intelligence, emotional evolution, what's going on right now, because this they refer to as the frost and the snow of winter tightening. I mean, just look at the news over this last week, tightening its grip on the sleeping landscape when we come to winter solstice in the northern hemisphere when you're into earth magic. It's the time of hibernation and stillness. A lot of people get what they call cabin fever. Oh my God, I've been iced in. I've been snowed in. Here in the mountains, we've been, I'm in a very rural area. They don't even salt the roads where I'm at. So it's just like, haha, you're in for the next 8 days. It's not the amount of snow we get, it's the ice.
Yeah.
When the temperature happens. So it's really been an iced forest around. around me here in East Tennessee rather than a snow-packed type of thing that you can kick around and make snow images and ski. Yeah, no, this is ice. So this is ice makes you respect it if you don't want to, you know, talk about the Leo symbology of pride goeth before a fall. Yeah, if you get cocky and prideful, yeah, you're going down. So they call it the wolf moon because when you think about survivalists, when you think about Native peoples in the woods, you know, when you go back in time before America, aka Turtle Island, to the Indians was their true home. The nights are long, the food sources are scarce, and so for the four-leggeds, as they say, the wolves, the coyotes, but especially the wolves, would be hunting around the village edge looking for scraps. So the energy of a January moon starts to offer protection from the harshness of winter, because when I've talked to a lot of hunters over the years, they say coyotes and wolves will hunt more, to hunt to kill, so to speak, hunt to survive on a full moon, because Mother Nature has lit up the landscape. The what they're wanting to be a predator toward can't hide in the darkness quite so easy. So as the moon waxes, as it does toward really strong from January 23rd to the 25th, we're drawing in the guidance for not only how to live sustainably, but to really see, are we arguing? Are we at odds with the stillness? Are we finding that our will, our ego, we're at battle with it? So as this moon starts to wane, it's excellent for releasing any pent-up fears. It's excellent that if we've been caring about, you know, if we've been carrying a haunt of not having enough or not getting what we want yet, at least add the word yet, it's a great time to look at your habits during hibernation and adjust them to match resources. So with all this Capricorn and Leo, I would say that it really is an excellent time to plumb the depths. It's an excellent time to combine Capricorn and Leo, take that strength, the tarot cards that came out last night when I was asking for this Pluto, Sun, Capricorn, and then Pluto entering Aquarius, you know, over January the 20th, and the Sun entering the Aquarius later on that day was the Strength card, of course, for Leo. The Ace of Fire, or the Ace of Wands, new beginnings, because it's inspired fire when you get the Ace of Wands. But I said, now what about that Pluto and Sun conjunction in sternly dominated Capricorn Saturn? And they said, oh, that's the Tower. I'm like, oh, holy crap. So the Tower, if you get your oracle cards and all the decks you may own or the ones you look at on the internet, I'd like to offer you a teaching of where you just pull up the Tower, T-O-W-E-R, pull up the Tower card and just look at it. You know, try to just look at the symbology of that lightning struck Tower, and how in the Rider-Waite deck there's some rocks and there's craggy rocks at the bottom of the tower, and they built it to where there was water all around it and nothing can get to them in the 3D earthly realm, and they're high and they're stone built, you know, tower, and it's you know, formidable, and it goes up in the air and got a crown on it in some of the tarot decks, and then a lightning bolt hits it and they're knocked out of the windows out of that tower. I mean, you see a man and a woman in the Rider-Waite deck being flown out of a tower from up on high. The original name of that card, when you get into tarot history, wasn't just the Tower. It was the lightning-struck Tower of God. So I said to you last month, and I'm saying it on my other podcast, 2024 adds to an 8 in numerology. It is the karmic infinity. And those of us that have wondered why certain opportunities seem to go to the other person instead of us, or it's taken such a long time, or I really invested in that job or that person, and I've always been the good person no matter what. I'm learning to set boundaries as an empath. I'm learning to do my shadow work. I'm learning to become at peace with me. When I tell you that 2024 is a karmic year, the nefarious, the elitist, the greed-driven, those that have beguiled and bewitched from harmful intention, we'll get the karmic boomerang. Boom, here comes the karmic sheriff.
Can we talk about that a little bit more? Because it feels so relative to that Pluto Sun conjunction at the anaretic degree of Capricorn, and then them both moving into Aquarius. I mean, the Sun got there a little bit before Pluto did, obviously, but they were still there at the 0 degrees together.
That's so rare. That's so
it's
rare.
So rare, right? And tell me,
we're really living through rarefied times, audience. Truly, that the fact that we're living, breathing, incarnated at this very time, and we're embracing the chapter known as the Year of Our Lord of 2024. I love the infinity symbol, and those of us that it's often the necklace I wear, the rings I prefer, because it's kind of like the golden rule, you know, what goes out comes back, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we all know people that seem like they get away with doing the dastardly deeds. Not this year. And I don't say that out of a cruel black heart at all. I don't say that. I'm just saying, okay, I'm talking with you and Nicole, you know, for the January 2024 full moon. Watch by summer solstice. Watch from April to June. Watch what happens. You know, we've got a lot of rare changes and conjunctions. You know, when we have this arrival in the third week of April, on April 21st, not since April 21st of 1941 have we had the Taurus vibration come together like that, the way that we're going to have, you know, the conjunction of we got a T-square with this full moon. And it really involves those of you in fixed signs, those of you that are born early in Aquarius because of this full moon being at 5 degrees, because of Pluto and the sun slipping there in the morning, like Nicole said, and Pluto on Eastern time slipping into Aquarius at 7:50 p.m. Okay, the sun moves pretty fast every 30 days or so. Okay, but Pluto, yeah, no, it's going to be in Aquarius once it finally gets in there at the end of this year for 21 years. The last time Pluto changed was 2008 when it went into Capricorn. It's shifting into Aquarius. It touched in a little bit last spring, and it's going to touch in for about 9 months this year, but it's going into Aquarius, and it's the slowest moving astrological teacher that we have. Pluto, though, naturally rules Scorpio, and I don't want to scare you when I say this because the same truth and teaching is for me, but Pluto, the reason I picked the Tower card, or my guides showed me the Tower card, is that what needs to end, needs to end. So we're coming in from the first new moon of 2024 that was on 1-1-1, and again, that Saturnian Capricorn energy of like, okay, it's boots on the ground time. If you look at the beauty and learn to do the celestial flow, go with the cosmic weather, Capricorn right now, regardless of your signs, Capricorn right now is saying, are you willing to put in the work without needing to overly control it or become OCD about it? Are you willing to apply yourself and to do the gratitude, thankfulness, no matter what your project is, no matter what relationship you want to see bear fruit, you've got to give that diligence. You've got to move in gratitude, but there's work to do. This is not a time for laziness, slacking off, video game playing, instead of doing your outlines and blessing it. You know, whatever business project you have, for God's sakes, give thanks for it and give thanks for who you're working with and give thanks for the momentum of the idea, the creativity, the dream actually taking 3D materialistic tangible form, because there are invisible sources and forces available to work with you. Aquarius shifts us into the as above, where Capricorn is climb the mountain, get to the top, enjoy the panoramic view, look back and pat yourself on the back for the arduous climb that you accomplished. You did it. You stuck with it. You had points of giving up. You had points of negativity. There isn't a boxer. There isn't an athlete. There isn't a cheerleader. There isn't someone that wanted to accomplish anything that didn't have to turn and face their fears. So if you're serious about change, and that's what's going on with this Sun-Pluto conjunction at 29 degrees, the last degrees of the zodiac sign is that extra oomph. You know, it's like the rocket takes off from the launch pad. Although it almost seems like that would be an oxymoron. Wait a minute, it's at the very end of the sign. So why would it be a launch? Because it's the final, I'm getting ready to leave the energy of Capricorn right now. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. whether a baby's being born in 2023, 2024, or you're going to reach 85 years old. This is a generational dynamic. And so the Aquarius, Capricorn is shifting from the authoritarian, those that want to tell you what to do, how we push back on authority, how we get in our own way when our guides, our angels in meditation and prayer and ceremony, we're receiving these downloads, we're receiving, you know, when the heart says, I know you love him, I know you want this, but we're telling you it's time to move on from this. You got to let this go. This isn't bringing out the best in you. It's our willpower. It's our insecurity. It's our fear. Well, if I lose this, how do I know what I would get in the future would be better than this? So I've got to hang on to this because even though it's crappy, I've grown accustomed to its face. So there's a death process involved when we graduate from high school, when we graduate from a tech school, when we learn a new skill. Once you've learned it, that's also a type of death because you're not at the beginning wanting to learn how to do welding or to drive a major wheel truck or to learn how to groom dogs or to be an astrologer or to whatever, become a nurse. I mean, once you've done the training, then you're done with the basic schooling, your foundation of wisdom, and then we have to go out into the world and become part of it. We have to start applying ourselves. That's Capricorn. As we shift into the Aquarian dynamic and at this full moon of Leo, Leo is the polarity. It's the yang sign, the electrical yang sign of the sun, the power of the sun, the great star of the Milky Way, and Aquarius is the balance to that. It's six signs away. It's the opposition. So Aquarius is the star man. Aquarius is the star card in the tarot. Aquarius is the enlightened vision that we bring as above, so below, as it is in the heavens onto earth. Aquarius rules astrology. It's our ability to see the mechanics of the movement of the constellations and the magic of the sky and the pictorial images in each one of the signs. What are the other major star constellations in the sign of Aquarius and the sign of Leo? What are the fixed royal stars, the four fixed royal stars? Well, they happen to involve the four fixed zodiac signs. So Leo as the heart rise, Aquarius as how heaven reaches into us with our permission and says, let me help you from the invisible, from the unseen into the seen, signs and wonders. When we start getting this Aquarius shift this year, it's humanity. It's we the people. And if you, of course, I'll be the first to say it, and I'm not afraid to say it. We've been experiencing a lot of main media blackouts of things that are going on in the world. And when you go into alternative sources, when you go to Redacted on YouTube or you go to Raw Alerts, you start to see that the German farmers, I have clients in Germany. I had a client from the Philippines and a client from Germany, and they're saying, oh, yeah, it's true. it's not fake news. It's true that the farmers are rebelling in Germany. It's like, stop telling us we're going to have to cull our herd. Stop telling us that we can't have meat. Don't force plant-based on us. So the people, we the people, on the positive sense, are starting to push back against authority for authority's sake to try to bully us. So when you get chased, when you get bullied, whatever age you are, whenever you felt like that you had a crutch, that you had to run, but you had a walking stick or you had braces or you felt like you had a Superman cape on or something, there comes a point, even like Forrest Gump did, there comes a point where you turn around and say, yeah, I'm not running anymore. I'm not running from myself and I'm not running from you. The shift from Capricorn to Aquarius is, where's the psychic cleanup? Where's the magical cleanup? Where's the alchemy that has to happen in order for us to say, I rebuke that. I free myself from that. I'm not chained to that.
I really feel strongly that Sun-Pluto conjunction at the latest part of the 29th degree and then moving into the 0 degrees relatively together, pretty close, all things considered, is a huge shift for humanity just as a whole, like here on planet Earth. And I think that what we're going to see over the next 20 years or so is that this is a time where people really start to question who they've given their power to, why they've given their power to that entity or people. And, you know, maybe it's about reclaiming power. And I think because Pluto is the planet of death and rebirth, and you've got, you know, it going through its own death and rebirth with the sun, right? Because it goes through that death and rebirth process when the sun crosses it, that it's really interesting. And it all happened at the 29th degree. And then moving into Aquarius, it feels like we're all going to be going through a very transformational metamorphosis of what power means to us, but also how to, I think what we're going to see is a huge rebuilding, deconstructing, rebuilding of a lot of different institutions based on what the people want.
That's a good term that you use, the metamorphic rise. It's like in the Matrix, you know, I mean, the main teacher's name in that particular series of movies is Morpheus. So Morpheus can also represent the trance, the dream world. You know, it's where the drug morphine can come from, how it can be a powerful painkiller and throw someone into another realm instead of just the 3D conscious world of pain. So where we're doing metamorphic work is that although we're in the void of when we lay down to sleep to rest the physical body, rest our organs, and then we go into a dream, or when we literally do hallucinogenic journeys, or when we literally, I mean, today as Nicole and I are talking, I thought, full moon in Leo, that's gold, and the vivid cobalt blues and ultraviolet blues of Aquarius. I'm going to take the royal liqueur that's made by a company called Saint Germain, and it's elderflower liqueur. It's gold. I mean, it's literally a gold liqueur. And when you go next time, you go to your, look it up online or go to your liquor store, elderberries are a wonderful product in nature that builds immunity. Elder flowers, Saint Germain elderflower liqueur, the flowers, which will become the berries, which are very medicinal, but the flowers in Austria, in Germany, in France, they can only pick a certain amount of those flowers because they want them to become berries because it's a once a year thing. And in Austria, they make like kind of like crepes out of the elder flowers. But this liqueur has a date on it, when it was harvested. And when you have the highest vibrational and holistic herbal medicine is flower power. So although people go and buy elderberry gummies and elderberry cough syrup and elderberry vitamins and tinctures, the elderberry liqueur is the flower that holds the high vibrational medicine that will later become Niger Sambucus or Sambucus Niger or the black elderberry, the elixir. So when you, and they call it, if you study it on YouTube, they call it bartender's ketchup because elderflower liqueur can be mixed with so many different mixed drinks. I always have it in winter. I always have it. And I thought, you know, in celebration of the golden heart rise of Leo, I'm going to actually have that with some Peregrino water, and I'm going to put in my elderflower liqueur, and I'm going to let that be actually an alchemical process as Nicole and I are gifting and wanting to be empowered and allowing the Capricorn strength and the Aquarius upgrade of our center, our core. What's working for you in 2024 when it comes to an upgrade in your spiritual connection to the great I am? So what seminars you go to, who you enjoy as a life coach or a meditative guide, how you discipline Capricorn yourself now for a few minutes a day to actually say out loud, whether you want to state it in your normal speaking voice or whisper it before you lay your head down and go into the night realm and the void and the dream lodge where you're entering into other multi-dimensions, just like when, whatever you do to get into a higher state of not being so attached or distracted by the third dimensional realm here and allowing yourself to lift into higher frequencies. Queen Cannabis is a good friend of mine. I bake with her, and I know that cannabis is an incredible medicinal plant. Am I addicted? No. Do I have to have it? No. But do I know its medicinal qualities? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So there's different plants that you'll be drawn to. And so elderflower They make it in jam now. They have it in this liqueur. Saint Germain is the only brand I buy because they have such strict medicinal disciplined times. There's only 2 weeks they can pick the flowers for that crop of that liqueur. And they date it when it happens, which is interesting to look at astrologically. So what I feel is going on right now is that we're literally the tower, the Pluto shedding of the old skin, the metamorphic pecking out of the egg, like the chick must do to assume its earth life. It's embryonic in the egg, and it's got to peck its way out of that to take form and walk its little two legs and feathers out into the earth mother life experience. Is we're literally going to be pecking out of an egg. I feel like we're pecking out of that egg until we pass the Chinese New Year, new moon over February 8th, 9th in Aquarius, where we start the year of the wood dragon. We're going to have 2 years of the earth element, the first one being the wood dragon. So what we're going into now, if you think about the dragon in most movies and in most mythological cultures and studies, it has fire at the front part of it. But a lot of dragons can fly. Some have wings, and they have a tail that can smack too. It's part of its it's part of the mechanics of how it fights, you know, up against the dragon slayers. So the dragon, although it has fire, it also can travel in the air. So when we're moving into these nodes that we've got going on, you know, the first eclipse coming up at the full moon in Libra in the third week of March, that's air, that's Libra. Then the great eclipse on April 8th, that's fire, that's Aries. We're starting to see a shifting more toward the yang signs of fire and air. So air is your connection with the etheric. It's literally the air that you wear, that which you breathe. And when we come into Aquarius, as we do over January 20th, 21st this year, there's some amping up of that. There's amping up of the energy of Aquarius. And so between this full moon and February 9th, 2024, I believe, Nicole, is going to start, I mean, I'd keep a journal with me, maybe a little notepad, because you're going to start to see who is it, what is it that I need to back up from, let go of for now. I'm not saying forever, maybe for the rest of this lifetime, that has indeed strengthened you, taught you, served its purpose, but it's got to go on back burner now. Because if you're serious about change, you have to go through some uncomfortable situations. You have to stop trying to dodge the actual process, because the only way is to grow is to not be stuck at the same traffic light, at the same room in your house. You know, once you use the bathroom, take a shower, it's time to come out, get dressed, and go on with your day. And with Saturn and Neptune still doing this dance in Pisces, and we've got the dark moon Lilith and Virgo, and you've got these dynamics right after this full moon as it shifts into Virgo. Remember, it's waning in light as the moon shifts from Leo to Virgo. We're going to get into the depths of our emotions and our feelings. So we might find, as we're approaching the Leo full moon, that T-square that's involved with it, with the sun in Aquarius and the moon in Leo, Jupiter in Taurus, Pluto, as Nicole is saying, joining in with the sun, we're going to need to sidestep allowing irritability. Like on Monday the 22nd, going into the 23rd of January. So working as a team is Aquarius. Doing the work you need to do on your own and not building up resentment because your coworker or your partner isn't covering their task or what they need to do, that could be potential irritation. Over the 22nd, 23rd, people aren't going to want to be up for taking criticism because it's kind of a grumpy, bumpy energy that goes in right before this full moon reaches its maximum culmination. But the moon is a spotlight too. And now we have the moon, which rules the sign of Cancer, being lit up by the ever-powerful sun. You know, it's like, I'm the sun. You know, I'm the star of the Milky Way. This is our only Leo full moon of 2024, and Leo likes to party, Leo likes to play, Leo, a full bloom of Leo is, it's where we're generous, it's where we want to help children, it's where we want to not just dig into that which hurt us with our inner child work, but where we had the strengths in our inner child theater, where we were like, yeah, I did that, and yeah, I accomplished that, and I did that, you know, in gymnastics, and I did you know, stop that bully. So Leo is about applauding our strengths and recognizing our strengths. But the full moon, it, because it's part of the T-square, it drags in Pluto and Jupiter. So Jupiter expands, so we could have a tendency to get a little too much into our ego, and we could have a tendency to be a little too explosive or exaggerate a situation to be worse than what it actually is. And so yes, that could detonate without warning. So I'm urging you, yeah, to move on from disordered people who move away temporarily, who tend to, you already know this, you already know the truth of this, who tend to squash our spirit or try to control our individuality. The Aquarius is going to say, I'm going to push back on that. So the work week could have a little drama, and you know, Leo's all about that too, but the weekend will be the exact opposite. As we finally get into Saturday after the full moon, it's a great time to have a meetup, to meet with the friends. You know, it's equally auspicious for getting physically fit or getting, I mean, absolutely plowing through any piled up chores or things we procrastinated on. And then when you get to Sunday, it's romance, it's art, it's socializing. So if there's people in your life, let me just say this about this, and I'll get Nicole's take on it. The people in your life who tend to have you walking on eggshells around them, remember the chicken picking out of the egg? It may be a time for you to march kind of away from that, to march on to some easier pastures, keep your sights ahead on the weekend after the full moon. And with Venus in Capricorn coming to trine, which is a very favorable elixir in cosmic terms, if you're beginning to be open to the vulnerability of allowing a reliable partner that would have your back through thick and thin, I really like by the 28th and the 29th, going into the first part of February, that's a sweet spot. And I'm liking that. But
yeah,
there's one little caveat. When we get to, write this down, the 27th and the 28th of January, a little bit going into the 29th, there's quite the cosmic stew that's going on. We're going to have Venus in Capricorn kissing and embracing Jupiter in Taurus. Love it for materialistic deals, for signing the agreement, for being able to go, oh, we work so well together. Yay. Then when you get into Mercury, Mercury is going to actually join up with Mars in Capricorn. The Sun in Aquarius is going to square off with Jupiter in Taurus and Uranus, which is the actual ruler of Aquarius. So certainly in February, late January and February, we've got to pay attention to the Uranus Taurus in your chart. Well, it's going to turn direct over that 27th, 28th of January. So our originality, our uniqueness, our boldness, our bravery shoots up at that point. And except for Mercury going retrograde in April, all big planets are going to stay direct until we get to June. So when Mars on the 29th, when Mars in Capricorn trines the ruler of Aquarius, Uranus in Taurus, that's where you're really going to see where something stands and how much someone's committed to either be for you or against you. And then by February the 4th, when Mercury goes into Aquarius, that's a sweet spot. That's a real sweet spot. So it's like it's amping up. You know, we've loaded the plane and we're getting ready. We're being cleared for takeoff, and that takeoff is going to be over that next new moon, the Chinese New Year, over February 8th and 9th. That's when all the Aquarius stuff is going, let's go up in a spaceship. Let's go fly a drone. Let's go, and you're going to be out of body, you know, in your dreams. I believe it's going to be more of an ecstatic experience rather than just, I had some interesting dreams last night. So as a psychic first, mystic, who knows the mechanics of astrology, I would strongly suggest that you have some kind of legal size pad or journal or paper by your bed, have that little easy to write with pencil or pen, and just write down a couple of the symbols before you want to fall back into sleep, because spirit, the angelic realm, and your personal guides are going to come alive between this full moon and February 9th, big time. Guidance is there.
Yeah, with this full moon in Leo, I think this, it's interesting because it's obviously in a T-square with Jupiter, yep, and it's opposed Pluto, which is still in a, you know, a wider conjunction, but still it's notable with the Sun, Pluto and the Sun. This is a full moon where emotions are definitely going to be a little more dramatic than any normal full moon, I would say. Pluto's bringing its intensity, but I think what you might be experiencing over this full moon is, like you said, Mary, about, like, you know, people that you maybe have to walk on eggshells with. I feel like this is a full moon where some of us might be starting to realize, you know, really connecting with how we feel on the inside, on like how we want to be, maybe not necessarily how we want to be seen, but maybe how we are being seen. And is that in the alignment with who we truly are? And maybe we need to start allowing the death of really what we think, what people think we are, and really start to embrace who we truly are, if that makes any sense, because it feels like there's a little bit of a transformation happening here with the people around you, but also your own identity. And also, just like you said, stop tiptoeing around, you know, trying to appease people, you know, like just be you. And maybe it's time to look for new groups to hang around, and maybe it's time to look for new friends, you know. And I don't say that lightly, because I don't think that, you know, you should just be casting away friendships so easily. But, you know, I feel like this is a time where it's one, I think minds are beginning to open, but before they can open, they almost have to go through a death and rebirth kind of experience. And absolutely, I think that this is a moon where we have to really get in touch with our own feelings about, you know, our own pride and personality and how we're stepping out onto our own personal world stage, right? And are people around us supporting that, or are they trying to dim that light down? And I think it's about, like, maybe I need to start finding people who are going to support me being in my own light and stop trying to appease to everyone. I don't know. Like, do you feel like there's some connection there?
I do, because look at the nodes. You know, the North Node is what we're aspiring to. It's in Aries. And so that's all about self-work. It's like, how am I in my own way? Am I taking things too personal? And the South Node, which is where we tend to fall back on, is, well, we want that partner to make us happy. Libra is about what we do, the teamwork, the mates and the coworkers. Aries is about being a leader and being able not just to copy or envy or steal somebody else's words or ideas, you know, and to do the plagiarism thing, and or not give someone else credit, even though they inspired you. You went ahead and took the ball and ran with it, and you left out, oh, well, my coach taught me that, or I learned that in boxing, or my martial arts teacher, or, I mean, the people that have, it's a, and your teachers and your soul coaches and your astrologers may not expect you to give them constant verbal accolades or applause, but you know, if you're trying to make it look like you did it first, you said it first, that's the shadow of Aries. And so we've got the Aries eclipses coming up, the Aries Libra eclipses primarily this year. There's one in Pisces that happens too, which will be the next dynamic of signs, Pisces and Virgo. Get ready, guys. In another year, it's your turn. So, but with the Aries and the Libra, where we're looking in our chart this year has to do with those yang, electrical, move forward, time to make some changes, get out of being stuck, you know, so the Aries Libra eclipses. And then we've got the Aquarian energy coming in. This is a very dynamic full moon. So it's about laughter and humor and trying to look on the light side of things and the bright side of things. And even if somebody just irritates the fire out of you, most of the time in your family or in your close quarters, just start, instead of just insulting them or instead of just getting surly with them, you know, use the Leo energy and just say, wow, you're a little harsh, aren't you? I mean, start turning it into where we can teach a lesson or make a point with some dynamic humor involved. Yeah. Like, just because someone tries to criticize us or insult us or try to talk behind our back or steal our ideas or make it look like it's them that did the catchy thing. Instead, just, you know, be bold enough to be unique. That, and I know this is hard. I had someone say to me once, when someone copies you, you know, it's the highest form of a compliment. And I said, no, it's irritating. You know, I like win-win situations. I mean, I don't copy them. I mean, this in high school. Why do they copy me? I used to wear rings on every finger. And this one gal in school who was a little insecure started wearing rings on all of her fingers, and we ended up working at the same restaurant. So So that's when you find out real quick you don't want to wear rings in a restaurant. So she kept wearing them, and she actually injured her finger. That didn't give me pleasure. It was just a part of a bigger overarching lesson. So with this energy now in Aquarius, think about when I've talked about the A-team. Astrologically, the A-team is the forward-moving, progressive, futuristic, let's think about the win-win of Aquarius and Aries. Aquarius can think about the group much easier than an Aries. The Aries is more comfortable with leading the group, taking the idea, and actually Aries will take the risk. Aries and Leo will take a risk faster than any of the other zodiac signs. If they fall, they fall. If they get up, they get up. But they're not afraid to be adventurous and take the risk. But Aquarius is looking out for the long range win. And Aquarius has an ability to say, well, if we got this study group together, if we got a group together to go take yoga, if we got a group together to start exercise walking, we could make it fun. We could take a little thermos of our favorite drink libation. We could have a gummy and go walking, but we have power in numbers if we were all females, for example. And we, you know, there's power in numbers. We wouldn't have to be afraid of hiking or walking, you know, at sunset for predators because there's power in numbers type of a thing. So Aquarius is more group motivated. Aries is more me to thee. And then Libra is more about we're more powerful when we do things as a team. Aries will talk about, Aries has a little psychological work in dropping the letter I. You know, I did this and I said this and I want to do this. And Libra shifts psychologically into, I love it when we're together. I love it when we talk on the phone. I get so inspired by your ideas and my ideas put forth together. So Aquarius and Libra, I mean, a Gemini just likes people, period, and likes to be a whirling dervish and be in all kinds of, you know, scheduled jam-packed situations to where they have absolutely no concept of time most of the time because they get distracted by the whole social thing, the social butterfly. But Aquarius finds an anchored purpose. It's a fixed sign. And a little secret here, because we've got this dynamic happening in the very beginning of Aquarius, and this full moon is still a part of a series of several full moons until April at 5 degrees, those of you, when you look into your chart, look at the areas of your chart of the fixed signs. I'm going to give you those. Leo and its polarity, Aquarius, Scorpio, and its opposite sign, polarity, Taurus. So wherever you have planets at the 0 to maybe 6 degrees or 0 to 5 degrees of Leo, Aquarius, Taurus, Scorpio, that planet is getting lit up right now. Now, when you take that further, and you look at where is the room or the zone or the house. In astrology, we call those 12 slices of that cosmic pizza pie, that sky pie. The slice is called a house. When I teach, I usually say that zone or here's your room of Aquarius. When you go into this room, so like if you have Aquarius rising, you're opening the front door to the first house, like you're opening the front door if you've got Aquarius ascendant or rising sign. So wherever you have Aquarius as a house, whether you have planets there or not, the Aquarius-Leo dynamics, because where you have Aquarius, Leo's exactly in that opposite house. So you learn two houses at once, two axis points of power at once. So Aquarius is the etheric, the air, the atmospheres that we're going in and out of. Is it an atmosphere of tension? Are you lighting up the room? Are you bringing the humor? Are you bringing the positivity? Are you bringing the elixir, the teaching, to where you can say, listen, you know, just because we've got some crappy chores to do, you know, if we do it together, it's going to be fun. You know, the dogs have to be walked. Let's go do it and make it fun. You know, we got to take, I'll go with you. Let's drop off your car and we can go have lunch and make it fun that you're going to leave your car to get some new tires. So there's a way that you can start to take the most mundane, menial, oh man, I got to go to the dentist tomorrow. I'll go with you. Listen, if your mouth is numb, we'll go and we'll get a smoothie or whatever. Start seeing what we can do with those social contacts that matter the most to us. Make your emails and your text more uplifting, more encouraging. Leo always, on the positive side of Leo, it encourages. It says things like, you've got this. I believe in you. I've seen your strengths. I've seen you not pull away just because somebody cheated or somebody did, you know, your thing and you were planning to do it and they stole your idea or they stole your term paper or whatever it is, don't let that get you down. You're sharp on your feet. You know, maybe you're supposed to improv. Maybe you're supposed to just be innovative in that four-page term paper that you did. Go be the rock star that you are. Because like Nicole said, it's showtime. Leo is all about the theater in your life. And this is a time in 2024 for you to say, okay, I need to reassess my position here. Do I want to be the writer? Do I want to be the actor or the actress? Do I want to play the part and learn by actually playing the part and seeing how that falls out? Do I actually want to write a new script of opportunity or write myself out of some drama? Or am I going to be the director? See, I've got five planets in Scorpio, so I like the director role because I can cut the scenes.
So,
including me. Yeah. I can cut myself out of it too. So we got to do some psychic surgery here. We got to remember what I said at the very beginning with Nicole. This is about emotional evolution. How can you evolve and heighten your emotional empowerment? And how can you allow the enlightenment and not get in your own way?
Yes, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think that's very wise. And so, you know, before we get into the all signs and everything, I do want to ask you, I'd love for us just to briefly chat about this one thing, because when I have you on next, this will have already passed. But what do you think about the conjunction of both, well, Mars and Venus conjuncting Pluto at the 0 degrees of Aquarius, and considering that also Mars is conjuncting Pluto really close to Valentine's Day, you know, there's some, and obviously Venus is catching up to Mars and they're going to have their conjunction and they're going to be traveling together for a little bit of time. Do you have any insights on that? Because it feels significant to me.
Well, Aquarius is the fixed signs are always significant. Well, Mercury pops into Aquarius around the 5th, 6th of February, depending on your time zone. That's why astrologers will give you 2 days. So don't pick on us. That's why we give you 2 days. My clients over in UK are going to be on a different time zone of 8 hours than when I'm talking to you out of the Eastern time zone. And Mars actually, over the 2 days of the 13th and 14th of February, to her point of how we celebrate Valentine's Day, slips into Aquarius. Pluto's already there, so Pluto is going to line up with that. Then Venus gets in there by the 16th and 17th of February. This I'll say about Aquarius. If Leo rules the heart, Aquarius is able to blend the spirit with it, because Aquarius can and does turn its raw emotions off like a light switch. Aquarius is intrigued by the mystery. It puts its feet in to the experience. If it's mysterious and it's an exploration, and it's not afraid of taking the vision quest or the adventure, and it's not afraid to join a cause. And it doesn't need to be the one leading. It wants to be the one observing what is the full bloom of what we need here. So Aquarius is going to be more determining what's the actual foundational platform of this attraction. And if you're involved with Aquarian energy, compatibility comes, especially if somebody's got Mars in Aquarius, a compatibility comes if there is intellectual harmony. So the way to win the Aquarian energy of sensuality or coupleship is that you've got to really be honest with yourself if you're intellectually compatible. Leo will be like, oh, I like your boobs. Oh, you got long legs. Oh, I love to run my fingers through your hair, because it's a lion. You know, it's a lion. It's going, yeah, I want to couple with you. I want to mate with you. And I love your fire. You know, the lion is stimulated more by the desire and the titillation of social contacts and the power of what the group can accomplish. You know, the lion's on the hunt and it wants to enjoy and sleep and lay in the sun, you know, and bask in the pleasure and the romance of it. Aquarius is like, what's the point? Now, who are we for each other anyway? So when you're talking about the shift of the Aquarian energy, it's why Aquarius is so dynamic, to be able to detach from their family of origin, to detach where they might have been born in Colorado, but they'll go, you know, be on a ship like they could be born in Colorado and become a nurse or a doctor, but they'll be the very ones that join the Peace Corps or become a doctor or a nurse on those ships of Doctors Without Borders, or they'll, you know, for a while take an internship over in, you know, the Sahara. I mean, Aquarius will say, I've got to get out there and study other cultures and other cultural beliefs and traditions. I'm only going to be more well-rounded and more savvy if I understand what are the eight precepts of Buddhism and how could that enhance me if my foundation was Christianity or I grew up with the family preference of being Catholic or Jewish and I just study in a study. I go take a weekend seminar or I go buy a book and I learn about the eight main truth precepts of Buddhism and what do I think about those? And what do I think about Zoroastrianism or Sufism? And I don't have to convert to anything. But maybe I would get more of a humanitarian, idealistic way. And so that's why you'll find in Aquarius that'll mix races, it'll mix religions. It's not afraid to be the odd duck out or the black sheep of the family. Not at all. So to make that into a statement about potential romance and coupling and meeting up and who we might find alluring around the Cupid enhanced holiday, which a lot of people hate, is that I would say that even though it's, you know, a holiday supposedly designed for going out to eat with your significant other and you know, the mating dating game, even if people aren't looking for a relationship or aren't looking for something that could excite them, yeah, that could happen this year because Aquarius is also when people say things, I wasn't looking, I never in a million years after the death of my spouse thought I would. You know, or you're like, I never thought I would step outside my norms of sexual attraction. I never thought I would step outside. You know, I've always just dated Chinese. I've always been drawn to people from Peru. Yeah, bam. That's all. That all can change.
Yes, yes. Because that's what I'm thinking, Mary. Like, yep. I'm thinking that people are going to start. You know, whether you're in relationship or you're looking to be in relationship, I feel like something's going to shift. It's going to progress or transform in a way yep. that is a lot different and outside of the box than you're used to.
That's true.
And I say that because to everyone who's listening, like, well, what's so big, you know, about like this? And it's just, well, Pluto is the planet, you know, from evolutionary astrology perspective, it represents our soul, right? So it's a yep. pretty significant planet in that it really kind of represents everything about us. And when you have planets coming in and conjuncting at a 0 degree mark and you have them all conjuncting very close together, like literally within a matter of 2 weeks. Okay. You have three planets, conjuncting this thing. I think especially, you know, because Uranus, modern ruler of Aquarius, and yep. Uranus is in Venus's home right now of Taurus, that there's just something interesting about this conjunction that makes me feel like relationships are going to start evolving in a very new way that most people are like, wow, I never expected this, but it works. Or, you know, like, wow, I'm really surprised. I didn't expect that, you know, and it shakes the foundation up, but I feel like it's going to be for the better.
That's a part of what I meant when I said, when we first started doing this podcast, it's a heart rise. And it's an emotional evolution. So it's more than exploring bisexuality. It's more than Pluto is also the natural ruler of Scorpio. And when you talked about the modern day ruler of Uranus for Aquarius, before we had the discovery of Uranus by Herschel, Saturn was known as also a ruler of Aquarius. So it's about smashing the rules. It's about not being bound by the rules of society or just your family or just your upbringing. So it has a lot to do with the secrets. You know, a lot of people, Nicole, go through their whole life and held a secret desire. A lot of people tripped the light fantastic and stepped out of what they know their family would accept. I would say that this Aquarius thing, how it shifts from all these planets being aligned at the end of Capricorn, end of a sign of Aquarius, there's a TV show, I think it's on Channel We or whatever, but there's a show, it's one of those reality shows, and it's called Love After Lockdown. And it's these people, both male and female, that end up falling in love with an inmate. Like they actually go online, and instead of a dating site, they actually start chatting up a person in prison. And some of them are involved with them for 2 years before they ever meet them. And they don't even have these meetings where they have to be married before they can have, in most states, these husband and wife or sexual jungle meetings. And this love after lockdown shocks a fire out of their family and their parents. Like, wait a minute, you're being conned, you're being catfished. But it's got to do with someone that's been in a box. They've been incarcerated for burglary or whatever, writing bad checks. But the person on the outside, their family, they shock the whole family. Aquarius is also about shocking things. Remember that lightning bolt of Aquarius? You know, it rules lightning. So the lightning struck tower. So it has to do with, I never thought my daughter, I never thought my dad, I never thought my mom, I never thought my kid. So it's like the shock waves. But there's something about breaking the expectation of your culture or your society or your family's rules.
Yes.
You know, like, so you went out there and you got the college education and you went out there and you were a nurse for all those years and you helped a lot of people, but then you go, damn it, it's time for you. Time for me. I played by all the rules. I got the degree. I put butter on my bread. I had the kid. My spouse died. I got divorced. They cheated on me. You know what? I'm going to do things a lot differently now. So that's what's going to happen. But it's not just going to be limited to the normal dating age group. I mean, it might be like, Dad, you're 75. You're going to do what? What? So it's going to be that, what did you just say? Yeah, I'm selling the house and I'm going to move over to Bali and I've got a girlfriend. There's going to be a whole lot of people, you know, just, I'm going to Costa Rica. I'm going to go to the Philippines. I'm going to go do what I want to do now. It's almost as if, and I think that war, a lot of war in the world makes people think about, how long do I have? I'm watching people, you know, to me, war never solves anything. I'm absolutely anti-war. I have great compassion for the soldiers, great compassion for the victims. I have enough Aquarius in my chart that I don't like the elitists and the governments that want to go to war and put the suffrage on the people. That's my stance. That's just me. So I'm more into the humanitarian healing instead of people making money with the military-industrial complex. Don't like it, not compatible with it. So wouldn't it be a surprise if I got involved with someone that was pro-military? Because it's absolutely
yes.
Not my norm.
Yes, exactly.
So it's
exactly.
Like that. It's going to be like maybe 180 degrees, like the woman that thought once she got divorced, that's it. She's a little bitter. She's done her shadow work. She doesn't hate, you know, a particular attraction template anymore. But then all of a sudden she decides that maybe she could learn the most about herself if she entered into another potential relationship. Got to tell you, folks, we learn the most about ourselves when we're in a partnership. Yep.
Yeah, no, do. Absolutely. It's something you cannot, I know so many of us, we sometimes eventually get to a point in our healing journey where we're like, I just don't want to deal with people anymore. But, you know, your relationships are your greatest teacher. And it's very, very important. So I love that. Thank you for sharing your intake or your insight is what I meant to say, your insight and your take on that.
It's true, but I think that this is a very positive year for us to get involved with our evolvement emotionally and psychologically. And when I talk about emotions, to me, there's also an equivalent. Like, to me, emotion and emotional intelligence and emotional evolving involves us looking at what our potential psychological limits or scars or patterns are. And I can tell you that you can do this pretty much. No, most people don't, Nicole, you know this, but you can do a lot of your psychological work, your soul work, for free. But will you sit down once a day with the YouTube thing? Will you sit down and meditate or do a ceremony every day? I doubt it. I doubt it. I know. I felt the resistance myself, but I can promise you this. Once you do, start investing your time yourself. That's Capricorn. If you say, well, I don't really have the money to travel and go do a seminar and do all this, okay, then what are you doing for free? Don't tell me you can't take 10 minutes or 15 minutes every day and enter into prayer or put on a little meditation or just sit with deep listening and absolutely for free just sit there in that place with the power bill that you just paid and the rent or the mortgage that you just paid. That's Capricorn. That's practical. That's the Taurus stuff. And say, Holy Spirit, great spirit, beloved angels, I'm going to sit here. I'm just going to sit here for 10 minutes, and I'm going to just breathe deeper, and I'm not going to petition or ask for anything. I'm just going to allow myself to go to center and to practice going into my center with my breathing, and I'm going to relax my stress. And if there is any truth, if there is any insight that I am to know without expectation, I will simply take this 10 or 15 minutes and I will stop my OCD, ADD, and I will sit here and I will make space for my angels and the visions and my holy guides to come through. You can do that for free, but will you? That's the shift of Capricorn to Aquarius.
Yes.
Once it starts shifting into Aquarius, the visions, the insights, the right meeting, the right people at the right place, the money to go to the seminars and the workshop, it'll happen. It'll just happen because why you and your God, you and your ability to invite a divine alignment will then start to manifest and the alchemy becomes alive. You give it life. You either kill it, you block it, or you allow it to have life. I every day, I told this to the audience on Lighting the Void with Joe on the New Moon podcast that I do. For me, I took the Capricornian, the Pluto in Capricorn since 2008. Well, as of 2020, and all that rolled out with 2020, I said, that's it. I know that the higher heavenly frequencies are spinning in light much more powerfully probably than I am, but I want to be also an earth-based charging station. They charge me. They protect me from many dangers and accidents I could have had, but I didn't, even though I don't have to know all those details. So I want to do my part for my Mother Earth. I want to do my part to contribute, to tithe my vital life force energies, and I want to do meditations every day, even if it's 5 minutes, to bless my Mother Earth, to bless all the Earth citizens, to do the humanitarian thing, to rebuke evil. I now rebuke any nefarious, uninvited, evil-intended energies, and I bless and call empowerment on all that is innocent and of the light. Let light prevail. Let love's light prevail now. Aho. Amen. I do that every day.
Yeah.
I want to do my part. I want to do the Aquarian age vision. I want to do it. And no one's going to convince me that if we all join as a collective group, if we all tribe up and all of our individual locations and vortices, if we all send light to whatever seems to be in disorder or crisis and chaos on this planet, we are powerful spirits. And as we activate our spirit, not just our material world, or I'm a female this lifetime, or I'm a male this lifetime, and stop getting caught up in, but I'm confused about my gender, I'm confused about my money, No. Just let's bless each other in the tables and the corners and the chairs of our lives so everybody wins. That's Aquarius. That's Aquarius. Mm. And I'm happy to be a part of that. That's the best part of my Aquarius energies, in the house of Aquarius, in the zone of Aquarius. Let heaven come to earth.
Well, speaking of the collective, shall we get into all signs?
Great segue. I love it. Creative she is. So creative. The lion woman. She's so creative. So we're going to do the signs, aren't we?
Yeah.
So Aries, we talked a lot about you. It's a big year for Aries Libra. Absolutely. Because this whole Pluto thing has been kind of squaring off with the nodes and, you know, Mercury and all these planets bouncing around, and the Capricorn's been coming at odds, a 90-degree square off, like it's like going into the old Western movies where they swing open the swinging bars, and here comes the cowboy going, I'm looking for the sheriff, blah, blah, and it's going to be like a standoff outside, you know, on three, draw your guns kind of a thing. So Aries and Libra really have had worldly, material world challenges. And so with this, with the full moon, it's a bit of a reprieve for the Aries born because it's in the fifth house. So you Aries may be wanting to, you know, the insights that could come with this Aries Aquarius energy shift can have a lot to do with, if you have children, spending time with your child, if you work with children or you're around someone that has kids or grandkids or even teenagers, you know, it might be literally for Aries out of the mouth of babes. You know, just really watching, like the oracle card in the 3D world might be some kind of scene that happens. You're just playing a video game with your kid, or you know, your parent reminds you of something that you did in your childhood that was so coquettish or whimsical, and you're like, oh yeah, I do like that in my child. So the fifth house has to do with our inner child. Leo has to do with our inner child. It's full moon in Leo. And so it's almost saying, hey, when's the last time you got that playful, theatrical, dramatic inner child that can be funny or wants to do something dramatic that's only creative and not harmful or bougie, you know, boisterous and bougie for anybody. So it's about, the fifth house is about our area of creative playfulness and pleasure being illuminated. I do see the Aries could have some extra inspiration. And specifically, if you're an adult Aries, it also could be working through any sexual blockages that somebody might have tried to criticize the way you love, or yet you don't seem to want me enough, or you want to sex and you never really want to listen to me. I think Aries could be using this fiery lunar energy to not only indulge their inner child, but ready to kind of get serious about what's my, not my end of life bucket list, but what's my playful bucket list? What would I like to do right here? How can I bloom where I'm planted? If you're Taurus, you still got the Uranus is being activated. You still got the Jupiter's going to go into Gemini this year, but right now, which will help you guys with your finances and your decluttering, Taurus. But right now, this full moon in Leo, the bull doesn't want to be pushed, and the lion is in pursuit. So Taurus is okay with soft moments and creature comforts and pleasure principles. But the lion is like, okay, you're getting too sedentary. You're getting too stuck in your ways. So Taurus, you know, it's a fourth house thing. So it could be if the family's pushing you too much. It could be that your people are saying, you know, when you live in Florida like I did, people always love to like sugar up to you so they can visit you in Florida for free. Yeah. Or for less money. Then when you move to the mountains, all the Floridians want to say, hey, where are you at? I'd love to come visit you. I'm in town. Are you? Well, good for you. So that could be going on with Taurus, that people are wanting to like cut cost and come, you know, kind of crowd in on you. So in a positive way, when the full moon lights up your fourth house, look around your living space in this new year and see what you need to move out or clear out or declutter. Maybe you want to make a home office. Maybe you want to upgrade your living space. That might involve repairs you've been putting off, but mostly on the inner level and those inside psychological closets, any pent up emotions could be bubbling up to the surface, especially right before February 8th, 9th. I'd say Taurus between that 28th, you know, 28th, 29th, and then again on February the 4th, check yourself. And are you enabling someone? Are you avoiding facing off with someone that, you know, you got to stay true to yourself and true to your boundaries. So it could be that there's some unwanted guest trying to bully you, or, hi, I'm at the gate of your neighborhood and we just wanted to stop in. It's like, I didn't know you were coming at all. So be bold enough, even though you're Venus ruled, be bold enough to say, you know what, that's going to be too much tension for me. That's just going to, I don't want to create resentment and I don't want to be, that was just rude. So if you're a Taurus, be able to just say, no, that's just pushy and that's just rude and I'm not going to do it. I don't care if you are my sister or my brother. I let you get away with that shit through my whole childhood and it's not going to happen now. If you're a Gemini, the third house dance. So Leo and Gemini play well. And so the Gemini right now, this is a full moon of the heart. It's the heart rise, the heart of a sunrise. So Gemini, you need to speak from your heart. Gemini is the third sign in the Western Zodiac. And so when something lights up your third room or your third house, you got to be transparent about what you experience, how you learn to open up new doors, new possibilities. There's bright connections, especially if you're seeking to expand a study, a new trade, or a different, as Nicole said earlier, social network. While it may seem uncomfortable to share, like in therapy, certain vulnerable truths and step outside that comfort zone, the honesty, the direct communication ultimately takes leashes off of us and shackles off of our ankles, and it frees us from overthinking that you may be experiencing. So I would say for Gemini, talk it out. It's okay to vent. Here's the struggle with Gemini. You got to be able to shut up and listen. You got to listen to the other significant person, your significant other. Don't listen to respond. Listen to understand. There's a difference. So if you're a Cancer or a Cancer rising, it's a second house dynamic. Yay. So this is where gratitude and practicing paying it forward, acts of kindness, letting someone else shine in the spotlight will ultimately, not taking credit for it yourself, will ultimately bring you the cornucopia, the horn of plenty. So it's how you're opening the door to more abundance is by allowing that sweet energy, that sweet, soft, nurturing energy of Cancer the Crab. So if you start to get a few concerns about how you're wanting to manage your resources or your money, this fiery wolf moon at the start of a new year is a powerful intuition lunation that helps you to reinvent, rethink your income streams, your priority values. So it's okay for you to know that it is your time for a new job, a raise, or a promotion. So I would say to Cancer the Crab, when it comes to where you need to be Leo bold, ask for the raise. You know, ask for the promotion. What do I need to do to get promoted? Because I don't see any areas that I'm not participating full throttle. And let them tell you. If you'll find out how they see if you're worth it or not. If you're a Leo, spotlight's on you, baby. Spotlight's on you. So you know what? Condition your hair. Put on that great face cream. Learn the benefits of castor oil on any wrinkles or on your skin. A lot of you need to go to YouTube and study about castor oil on your belly button. Yeah, I said it. There's a lot of neat things about that golden oil, and I'm going to warn you about castor oil because I've studied herbs and holistic remedies for a long time. Too much, more is not better. When it comes to something like castor oil, you need to pay attention. You need to pay attention. Your eyelashes will grow, and your eyebrows will get nice and thicker. Instead, if you happen to go get tattooed eyebrows, castor oil is powerful, but there's some areas you better respect when it comes to castor oil. So Leo is about beauty treatments, and it doesn't have to be a needle or just a plastic surgeon. It's about really embracing what actually feeds your skin, what foods or supplements actually enhance your immunity, your wellness, and your bright beauty. So the fiery wolf moon is in your sign, but I would say as a Leo or a Leo moon or rising, press pause, step away from the daily routine, the daily demands of life, and the expectations of your relationships with significant others. It's time to check in with yourself, and you need to acknowledge the areas that you've grown, how much you've grown since the last full moon back in February, a year ago of 2023. What achievements are you most compatible with or proud of since February of 2023? And how can you take that up another notch this year? But you got to bask in your achievements first. So with Leo, it's good for you to look back on what you let go of, what walked away from you, maybe what challenges that came in roaring into your life. Maybe you're taking care of a loved one. Maybe a parent or a spouse or a lover had a tough year. Aquarius is all about, for Leo, the Aquarius solar cycle is about really focusing on your partner, your significant other. The full moon in Leo lights you up. But this time of year, every year, from the third week of January into the almost the very end of February, around the 19th, 20th of February, that's when the sun and the planets, like Nicole was talking about, they're beginning to join the planetary parade in Aquarius. That's your seventh house. So, Leo, you really learn the most about you and where you're at and what's working by listening to the people you deem to be your top three priority people around you, orbiting around you. So it's a time for you to say, am I losing myself in doing too much at this job? Or I'm okay with the discipline of the overwhelm of taking care of this person that's ill or taking care of my loved one that's going through a struggle psychologically or physically, but I better take care of myself or I'm going to start snapping, getting resentful, getting angry because I'm tired. You know, the old statement, anybody that's a caretaker better also take care of themselves. So you're in the spotlight, but it's also your time of the year for important pairings, important me and thee type of conversations. If you're Virgo, Virgo's going through the light behind the act. You're behind the stage right now. the full moon is in Leo. That's the sign before Virgo. So this is, are you feeling extra tired? We're also at a solar cycle 25. And so they run 11 years. And so there's a whole lot of solar activity that's taking place, these X flares and the Schumann resonance and all that. And you can go study that at NASA and earthsky.org and spaceweather.com. But for Virgo, they're really feeling, why do I am so opposed to winter? I'm bored. I don't want to stay in all the time. I don't like this gray sky. I mean, they're kind of feeling sluggish and surly. And so it is a dramatic Leo wolf moon. So if you've been craving more me time, or you, as Nicole said, you're in that phase right now, which Virgo easily could be, that I really don't want to be around a lot of people. You know, that meme that I've seen that says it's too people-y out there. I've even seen T-shirts with that. So it's really not a high social cycle for Virgo. You need to listen to your body, and you need to restore, give your body your mind and your body the solitude and the space that you need. You've got some sensitive emotions to process, and that might just wear your ass out. You just might need to sleep more than usual. And instead of something being wrong, are you suspecting that you got the flu or something wrong with you because you're so tired? Take that journal I mentioned 15 minutes ago and write down whatever it is that seems to be coming back into your mind that wants your attention. And I would say for Virgo too, Nicole, there's emotional memories that I believe are popping up during this fire sign. I really do. I think there's some things that want to be cleared, and I believe these are priority types of things. So Virgo, be patient with yourself and just work through it. You know, it's a process. Just work through it.
Yeah, I know some Virgos who that I think applies to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it might be that Virgos just need that kind word, that don't push the Virgo. Instead, just say to them, just checking in on them. You okay? Want to go get a hamburger? You know, want to go get some coffee? Want to go get a latte? Kind of a thing. But if Virgos, when they turn inward, they kind of tend to blame and shame themselves, although they don't admit it, but they tend to kind of get hard on themselves. Mm. If you're Libra, I call that the L team. We've got the A team and the L team, and Leo and Libra work well together. Both of those are yang, fire and air, electrical, interested, dynamic, yang, masculine type of energy. So it's an 11th house for Libra. So I kind of feel exciting news around Libra with all this Aquarius stuff, and Jupiter's going to go into Gemini, and I feel like it's a community, neighborhood, maybe that's a real estate boom, or there's going to be something that they're excited about, the new roommate, or they're going to move from one location to another. Libra's really been working hard behind the scenes, and I believe this Leo moon allows Libra to go center stage, showcase the unique creativity or talents or gifts to the world. So I believe that Libras need to remove any filters and allow the experience. Just be you. You are enough, and get out there and strut your stuff. I mean, I really think it's not a big forecast for Libra because there's a lot of things flowing your way. If you're Scorpio, it's a big cycle. It's a big cycle. You've got two big planetary shifts. You've got Jupiter and Uranus in your opposite sign of Taurus. You've got Mars going into Aquarius. You've got this Leo Aquarius moon. It's primarily the moon is lighting up your 10th house. So it's heating up. You know, Leo is normally the celestial cycle of Leo's in the summer in the northern hemisphere. So there's more respect. There's more recognition. And with the Capricorn stellium, there's more responsibility with your work at the office. Ask for support. Take your breaks. But this Leo full moon is all about you leaning in and learning more about your own capacity. Like, it's in fast gear for you. The only thing I see Scorpio has to avoid is burnout. You know, I'm burned out. It's because Scorpio, all the water signs need to take time away from where they pulse their main energy attention. They need to take time away. They must recharge their emotional and psychological battery, period. So I feel like that Scorpios need to consider the possibility of starting and ending their day with something that's joyful, something that's lighthearted, so they can stay grounded and maintain that healthy career work-life balance. So, you know, Scorpio, I know it sounds like an old cliche, but you really need to be looking at one day at a time around this full moon. You really need to. With Mars going into Aquarius, you need to just take this last week of January of 2024 and the first 7 to 8 days of February. Don't take it personal. Look at why you're getting triggered and just learn from your triggers. If you're Sagittarius, it's ninth house. So Sagittarians or Sagittarian risings are like, I want to grab somebody that I have fun with, that I can let my hair down with. I may want to go upgrade my passport. I want to have desire in my life. And desire could be that you build a greenhouse together with someone that you're involved in a coupleship with. But there's, you know, whether Sagittarius zooms away to some kind of avant-garde or international destination, or they start the philosophical plunge, they start the soul studies into something that's a different spiritual or cultural vibe. This wolf moon is asking you with the Capricorn shift to make practical Capricorn plans to achieve some type of up level in your spiritual skill set. So it's like you Sagittarian archers, as you want to level up your skill, and it actually could be a new job that you leave one thing and go into something else, because Sagittarians love learning. They love being able to increase their talents. So it might be a certification, it might be a graduation around this time. But I guess what I want to say to them is all this Aquarian shift is, and how are you sharing, gifting, enjoying the wisdom that you've already learned? How can you bring that out? So maybe there's going to be more professors and teachers and physical therapists and people that are Sagittarius or chiropractors or whatever saying, here's how we'll apply this. Let me help you heal, type of a thing. Capricorn, it's eighth house. Capricorn and Leo can be very serious about how they pursue a goal. And I do see for Capricorn, there are significant shifts going on with you. If you think that you didn't, Capricorn, look back to 2008. Look back, those of you that know your charts, look at the house or the area of your chart of Capricorn, because Pluto entered Capricorn in 2008. What was it, 16 years? You know, lighting up, that's where we had the deaths and the shifts and the transformations and the shedding of the skin. So for Capricorns right now, it's shifting into how they prioritize what they value, more on a material level, like, do I want to sell this business? Do I want to sell this house? Do I want to free up some capital and go invest in something else? So Capricorns are looking at, that's really had me held down for a long time. I recently had a Capricorn client. He'd been with a mate for over 20 years, and they passed away from an illness. And their statement to me was, well, with them gone, everything now in my world changes. But it was that actual death. That partner would not have changed anything, because they were happy working with their significant other. They were happy in business together. The partner got sick, and it was a rapid, ravaging disease, and they passed away. Mm. So they said, my whole world changes now. I've got to travel. I've got to sell this and that, because I don't want to be here, because yeah, we were here all those years. And we talked about it. My partner would want me to sell it, free up the money, do what I want to do. So it's not that the partner that was left behind wants another relationship right away, but they want to also close the chapter of at least half of the things that were such staunch reminders of all that they built together as a team. So with Capricorn, whether you're working to defy or release debt, whether you start to really prioritize your deep psychological, emotional rise up, there's epiphanies all around. So I see them, I guess, in short, they have to rediscover what brings them joy. And I feel like that as they accept where they are right now in the process of all that had to fall away, close out, go away, rather than resisting it, will bring them very powerful results. And I guess if I pick two words for Capricorn, even though Pluto's going out of your sign, I'd say pace yourself. Aquarius, wow. Wow, Aquarius, you're not going to get to hide in the background anymore. This is a time of accolades, and seems like that your basic incarnation vision quest life force is being electrified and activated, and you're not only pursuing, but you're being pursued. There was a lot of extra energy flowing your way. It's a lusty full moon. It focuses on close connections. It's an excellent time to even orchestrate and plan a sexy date with a partner, host a festive birthday celebration with who you want to be close to. Although, with the Leo full moon and Mars going into your sign, partnerships will be tested now. But here's the other part of a partnership being tested. What if we graduate? What if it's a good thing? What if you go through a partnership test and it's like the big win kind of a thing? So with Mars going into your sign, don't jump too quick to clap back, snap back. You know, Aquarius can have some really sharp words. And so I think the full moon's basically favorable, but you need to focus on resolving the areas of conflict instead of allowing yourself to be dragged into unnecessary drama. And finally, last but certainly not least, the Pisces energy. You know, we've got Lilith in Virgo. It's your opposite sign. You're going to feel this full moon as it slides into Virgo on the late night of the 25th of January, going into January the 26th. So you might be feeling scattered. You might be feeling like there's too many irons in the fire. You got to take a moment, slow down. It's very favorable for you, Pisces, for you to get centered, breathe, dance, let music, sing, dance around the house, sing, meditate, pray. It's a, you know, eat, drink, pray. It's an important time for you to recommit to the healthier habits that support you mentally, physically, and emotionally. I feel like Pisces have gone through a big uproar since late August of 2023. If you're unsure where to start, consider visiting that group program, visiting the reliable resources, maybe your church, maybe working out at the gym. I mean, you need some areas where maybe there's people, but you're able to act like you feel safe there, but maybe you can just go do some work on the machines at the gym, or maybe you can go to your synagogue or your temple or your church or your support group. And I would not rule out a good therapist for Pisces, because I feel like 2023 could have kicked the ass of a lot of Pisces. So if you'll review your progress by the time you get to August of 2024, it's going to be amazing what's come into your life, the path that you're on now, and how happy you are to embrace those new beginnings that are coming in to kiss some pleasure into your life. I feel like the second half of the year is really going to be positive for Pisces, but Mars is going into Aquarius. That's your behind-the-scenes, deep psychological questions and struggles and searching for those soul strengths. And if you'll flow with that, if you'll flow with when Mars gets into Pisces, when it goes into your 12th house, you know, Mars is the fuel in our engine. And as it gets there, as Nicole said, on right by Valentine's Day, if you'll work with Mars wanting to go in there and clean out those closets that you don't want anybody to peek into psychologically and emotionally, by the time it gets to your sign on the 23rd of March, you're one heck of a soldier that earns some new medals, new soul medals, new life medals. So it's for Pisces, the Aquarius season, this Leo full moon is about what have you not been willing to look at? And how about that? Is it time yet? Are you tired of it haunting you?
But
it's basically a time of inspiration. I mean, it's not time to roast any particular sign, like Nicole likes to tease me. Who's getting it this month, Mary? I held back. I really feel that this Aquarian energy is about us being able to step back a little bit from always wanting to react with rapid fire emotions and really find the love and the compassion, the encouragement, the upper level qualities of Leo. Where's the lion in you? I mean, just find that feline, independent lioness or a lion in you that knows that all of us are a princess, a king, or a queen of a jungle of opportunity somewhere in our life. And we can all find our ways through the jungle, and we don't always have to hunt or be hunted. That's, I mean, it's Leo. Mm-hmm. It's Leo. So where could you play? Where could you play without criticizing or hurting or disparaging anybody else? Where can you? There's a whole spirit. There's an essence. There's a spirit. You know, I love the spirit of play. I love the essence, the energy, the spirit of generosity. It feels good to give when you do it without strings attached. So where can we? The upper level of Leo is generosity, baby. It's generosity. I feel so much richer when I have the resources to brighten someone else's day or give something to someone and watch the corners of their mouth turn up. Yeah, I like that. I like that. It's heart rich. So this is a heart rise. And I think I want to finish my part of it and let Nicole finish by quoting one of my absolute all-time over decades quote by the one that wrote the prophet, Khalil Gibran, when he said, "There are still cave dwellers. The caves are our hearts."
Oh, very beautiful. Beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary, for that. It was a great rundown of the all signs. And I know you guys in the audience always appreciate a little bit of personalization on these full moon rundowns. So thank you, Mary, for doing that for all of us. And
I love you all. Love to all of you. I just want to send light and love to all of our heart chakras and just see the marriage, the mystic marriage of the holiest, highest aspect of ourselves joined together for the sake of this lifetime, this incarnation. I want to put light blessings upon all the people that we will greet and meet this year, all the people that will bless us, and that our presence and our heart's eyes and our soulful eyes will also enhance and bless and prosper. May we all be prospered. May you all accept the divine prosperity.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. For anyone out there, you know, it's the new year. And if you're looking to get an astrology reading, Mary is definitely your girl. So, you know, visit her website, maryducina.com. I'm going to leave all of the links in the description below so you can find her very easily. And don't forget that, you know, if you're looking for a metamorphosis of things, you know, of your soul, of your heart, the Forbidden Journey Retreat is going to deliver all of that and more for you. I would recommend it greatly for anyone looking for big change this year.
Yes,
so
yes.
If you're interested, I'd love to see you here in Colorado, April 24th through the 27th. We are 50% sold out. There is only one room left for a private room. The rest are all shared. So if you're interested in coming, I'm going to leave the link in the description below for you to reserve your ticket. Or if you have any questions, just email me, nicole@nicolefrolic.com. I am so excited. It's one of the most exciting things that I'm looking forward to this year so far. So I'd love to see some of you there. And to all of you who are already booked, get ready, because I'm going to be emailing you within the next few weeks of our first call meetup so you guys can meet who's coming. All right, guys, I love you so much. Let your heart go through this transformation, this metamorphosis. This is an emotional, evolutionary full moon in Leo. So rise up to take the higher road of whatever it is that your soul is aligning to, whatever feels right for you, because it feels like, you know, we truly are starting to evolve in how our heart is feeling, how our heart gives, how our heart receives. So all of that's coming through. I love you guys, and I will see you next week. Thanks again for joining me for another show on the Enlighten Up podcast. I love you guys so much for all of your continued support. So remember to raise your vibe, find your tribe, and be open to the infinite possibilities held in the mysteries that surround us all. Thanks again for sharing the show with your family and friends. And if you're new to the show and you need to find out more information about me, please head on over to my website, nicolefrolic.com, where you can join my newsletter. And please follow me on Instagram, Telegram, and YouTube. Keep your light bright, and I'll see you next week.